And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. It is Wednesday, March 16th, 2022, 6:18 a.m. Joined on our newsmaker line by Epoch Times columnist Dominic Sansone, who's an expert on Ukraine and the Eastern Europe and Russia. Welcome, Dominic.
Hi, Mike.
Well, you were with us back on February 25th, before Russia invaded Ukraine. A lot has happened since. What is your take on the current situation there? And do you have any sense of a possible resolution that stops short of a worldwide conflagration?
Yeah, well, you know, actually in October, I wrote a piece for the American Conservative basically about how Kiev was increasing the likelihood of war with Russia. And I basically said that the United States, the Biden administration, needs to make it clear that the United States is not going to militarily get involved and also induce Kiev to return to the Minsk agreements, which were meant to sort of resolve the separatist conflict going on in the East. Now, why did I do that? I don't deny Ukraine's right to defend themselves. Of course, they clearly defend themselves very well. But obviously, to anybody with half a brain, it was clear that the United States was not going to go to war in Ukraine with Russia for Ukraine's right to join NATO. So basically, we needed to induce them to return to the Minsk agreements. And look where we are now. Yesterday, President Zelensky basically said that he admits that Ukraine is not going to be a member of NATO. You know, Russia has laid down the same demands they always have: to cease attacks, to recognize the independence of those two southeastern republics, to accept Crimea as Russian, and to declare Ukrainian neutrality. So we're in the exact same position that we were before. It was a total failure of U.S. diplomacy under the Biden administration. And less than a month after I wrote that article in October, November 11th, Veterans Day, Secretary of State Antony Blinken once again said that Ukraine will become a member of NATO.
Yeah, let me just stop for a moment. That is very significant, isn't it?
And Extremely significant.
I don't think anybody has really pointed that out.
No, and that was before Russia began amassing forces on Ukraine's border. He reiterated again what was basically said in 2008 Bucharest summit, that NATO and that Ukraine and Georgia would eventually become members of NATO. And that was basically the point. Since that time, Putin's been saying it for 14 years. He made it very clear that Ukraine is a red line for him. Right after that statement, he invaded Georgia to keep Georgia from joining NATO. We knew that he was going to, we knew he had forces on the border with Ukraine. We knew that he was going to invade. That's all what all our intelligence said. And again, we basically just threw a total failure of diplomacy through retroactive instead of proactive policy. We're now in the position that we are in.
So, Dominic, let me ask you this: in your analysis, and you were a Fulbright scholar in Bulgaria.
Fulbright, I was interned with the Hudson Institute for a little bit.
Right. And, so you know this area, and you know Eastern Europe. So, but let's see if we get this straight. In your assessment, if Secretary of State Blinken in November had not said, we want Ukraine to be in NATO, would Vladimir Putin have chosen not to invade Ukraine, in your view?
You know, this past week, Putin basically said, if it wasn't now, it would be a later time. And I believe that's, again, indicative of the Biden administration. It wasn't going to happen the past 4 years under the Trump administration because, again, Trump was too unpredictable. Putin didn't want to test him. Nobody really knew what the response would be, which, of course, is a good hand to have in international relations. But under the Biden administration, this is going to happen eventually. I truly believe that. And part of that is because of the United States' continued claim that, you know, Ukraine's going to be a part of NATO and, you know.
But now everybody's backing away from that, right?
Yeah, including Zelensky. Again, anybody, this is not ideological, it's not value-based, it's clear power politics, realist foreign policy. Russia was never going to allow Ukraine to be a member of NATO. That is the red line that he drew in 2008. But more than that, the Russian people, and I just want to mention quickly as well that since last week, Putin's approval rating among the Russian population has jumped from 61 to 69%, nearly 10%. So,
what about these reports that he's in political trouble because of the invasion domestically in Russia, because of the invasion, and it's a brutal invasion of the Ukraine. I mean, they're indiscriminately killing civilians. But are you telling me that he is more popular in Russia now after the invasion than before?
According to the Levada Polling Center, which is a pretty reliable Russian polling center, you know, we've used that in the West for a little while. We've used their metrics. Yes, his popularity is increasing, and again, because this is popular. People have to understand that not only Putin, but the Russian people understand Kiev to be the cradle of Russian civilization. They consider it to be integral to their culture, to their history, to who they are as a people. He was never going to allow Ukraine to be a member of NATO. And he said this. The Russian people, again, agree with this. I truly believe that Russia would rather not exist at all as a country or take the world down with it than to see Ukraine as a member of NATO and see them totally encircled.
Well, how does this play out over time? Now, Zelensky, by the way, is addressing members of Congress here in the U.S. today asking for more aid. It's been 19, 20 days. The Russians are having more difficulty subduing Ukraine than was anticipated. However, they appear to be continually making progress encircling Kyiv and other key cities in the Ukraine. Is there an off-ramp here, or does this escalate militarily?
I think there's an off-ramp. I think that, again, negotiations have been ongoing. They're in, what are they, their fourth or fifth, going into their fifth round, I believe. So I think those demands that Russia has made, at least some of them are going to be met. And that's an article I wrote about a week ago for the American Conservative, which I laid those down and said that, you know, we need to use some of these different sticks and carrots to try to, you know, end the situation diplomatically. What I'm more concerned with, and I think most people will also say, is the closening relationship between Russia and China, and what this entire thing has done to the United States geopolitical situation. Again, the idea that through these crippling sanctions, we're you know, destroying the Russian economy. Well, okay, but that's undermining the United States' entire international position. In addition to the nearly $118 billion gas deal that Russia has signed with China, now you see Saudi Arabia, who won't pick up the phone for Joe Biden, mind you, has just decided to denote the oil transactions with China in yuan. Russia has additionally now found an outlet for its discounted crude in India, you know, historic strategic ally for Russia. And they're also talking about denoting that transaction possibly in yuan. So I don't want to, you know, be overblown and say that yuan has the likelihood of replacing the dollar as the world's reserve currency anytime soon.
But it's moving away from the dollar towards a yuan, I think.
It is. And we have to remember that China is not, they're not looking at the next midterm election or the next presidential election. They're planning 5, 10, 15, 100 years down the road.
Now, how long will military, what would be your best guess as to how long military hostilities will continue in the Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine? And when and if it all settles down, what will the world there look like?
I think that actually, you know, despite our large allotment of money for Ukraine for weapons, I think that diplomatically, just judging by what's going on with these peace negotiations between Ukraine and Russia, it will probably start to simmer down pretty soon. As you said, with Putin, his polling numbers are up, but I can't imagine an indefinite war, you know, Slavic Orthodox fighting Slavic Orthodox in Ukraine is going to be good for his long-term approval ratings. So I do think that, you know, that LPR and DPR in the southeast of the country, their independence is probably going, or largely autonomous nature is going to be, you know, recognized. I think that they need to use the Russian language issue, which is a big deal that the Minsk Accords were meant to address. We need to use that as leverage to try to diplomatically solve this situation. So, you know, there's some reports that now as Putin kind of tries to consolidate control along the Black Sea coast, Mariupol, potentially going all the way to Odessa and then even to this Transnistria region, which is all the way to the west, basically turn the Black Sea into a Russian lake and kind of split Ukraine down the middle with the Dnieper River, you know, half Kiev to the east, half Kiev to the west, and basically turn Ukraine into a rump Western Ukraine. I think that's a little bit ambitious. I think more likely he's going to look at that LPR and DPR being independent. And that's what we're going to see, you know, and I think Russia, again, is going to be largely ostracized from at least the Western world, as they already are. I don't think leaders are going to even agree to meet with Putin anymore. He's going to be kicked out of a lot of different multilateral forums. But he's going to continue to become closer with China. They're going to continue to kind of consolidate that Tehran, Moscow, Beijing access. And it's going to be a real problem for the U.S. geopolitical situation in general.
Dominic Sansone with the Epoch Times and a former Fulbright scholar, lived in Bulgaria for some time. Come back again soon, if you would, please, because you have just brought light into an area of the international situation where there's been not enough light and too much heat. Thanks so much for joining us, Dominic.
Thank you so much, Michael. Happy St. Patrick's.
All right. Thank you, my friend.